Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join My Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here until 10 o'clock this Sunday morning. I also host the Retire Sooner podcast, where the goal is to help a million Americans retire earlier or a little sooner and enjoy the adventure along the way. We interview what I think are fascinating guests who share their experiences and their wisdom for living a happy and fulfilling retirement. Several weeks ago, I sat down with gerontologist, psychologist, and lecturer Ken Dykewald. He's also the co-founder and CEO of AgeWave and points out how much the perception of aging is really changing. He shares this mindset, the way he thinks about this is usefulness rather than youthfulness. Ken wants you to balance work and your personal pursuits in your life. Sounds like being a happy retiree to me, and this is why I wanted Ken to be on the show. So today on Money Matters, a conversation with one of the foremost authorities on the age wave so that you can, in Ken's words, reimagine retirement as this dynamic stage of your life.
Maybe we just start with a little bit of your thoughts over how aging has just radically changed. I mean, you started studying this again almost 50 years ago. And what it was like with the study of aging then and how the mindset of America then versus today, and I would say 5 years ago, and then what is it like over the last 5 years, but really just bring me through that, how the field has changed and how we think so differently about aging today.
Sure. And first of all, it's an honor to be with you, and it's great to be on your program. So thanks for having me. So I sort of by accident started working with older adults when I was 24 in 1974. So that's 49 years ago. Back then, if you were over the age of 60, you were old. And they used to call older people golden agers. And then somebody came along with the phrase, with the word seniors, and that kind of caught fire for a while. And now that's dying away. Most people who were older were happy to have made it that long because their parents probably didn't. If they lived past 60 or 65, they thought they had a few more years before their batteries wore out. It was a time, this is going to sound really bizarre, but during World War II, there was a wage freeze imposed on all employers. And so partly the way employers and unions got around that was that they created pensions. And that generation of older people back when I first got in the field, between being frugal, having grown up in the Depression or in the shadow of the Depression, having pensions, and also very much not thinking they were going to live very long, there wasn't that much of a worry about financing a long retirement or even what retirement was supposed to be. It was just kind of a tag on at the end of a working life. And then what I've seen over this half century is that up until about a year or so ago, there were more and more older people. They were living longer and longer and longer. People didn't have any clue what to do with that period of their lives. They realized that if they stopped working, they might have 10 or 20 or even 30 years in front of them because they had an uncle or an aunt or a grandpa who lived a long life, but clueless about who they could be and what they ought to do and how they might feel good about themselves. It was just sort of a new period of life. It was like a new frontier. Now, what's going on is that the subject is just exploding. And for me, I've watched over the decades as individuals or moments have happened that have kind of triggered changes. So when Betty White passed away, it was a massive amount of media attention because all of a sudden people said, I've never seen a 99-year-old before who was attractive and fun and good sense of timing and cared about people and cared about animals. And I'd like to be that kind of 99-year-old. And then all of a sudden, Smokey Robinson drops a new album at 83. And the Stones are putting out a new album, first new album in 18 years. And Martha Stewart lands on the cover of Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. And Harrison Ford comes.
By the way, to me, I remember when I realized what her age is, I thought it was a typo. I could not believe, because Martha Stewart is in her 80s, right?
81.
She's 81. And I really, I don't know, I guess I, in my mind, back when she did, 20 years ago, I think in my mind, I was frozen at around 60. So when I saw her on the cover, she was on CNBC one the morning that the Sports Illustrated came out, and just I was thinking, oh, she's probably around 60. And to hear that she's in her 80s is remarkable, right? So these are amazing
examples. It's sort of like a new age of aging has started up. And it's not just one person or another. There's 250,000 people now competing in the Senior Olympics. There are, millions of people who are reinventing themselves. There are community colleges that are popping up all over the place now for emeritus students, people who want to go back to school at 50 or 60. And people are falling in love again at 70 if they've been widowed or divorced. And so what we're seeing is kind of a new frontier.
Here's one thing I've been studying pretty recently is this thought around un-retirement. And really just looking at economic data, you look at labor force participation, if you go all the ripples can through COVID for many reasons, health, finance, what happened to the economy. We saw labor force participation drop by 2 million people in the 55 plus, which was just a massive number of, quote, retirees as they left the labor force. And then now in the last year and a half or so, they've 1.5 million of them come back. Technically, and not all 2 million retired, and not, but what is amazing to me is that we've got all these people kind of coming back a little bit to work. And I wanted to ask you about this because I know you talk about how if you're 60 plus, there hasn't been enough conversation around what are you going to be doing for 20, 30, 40 years. So have you started to see, have you talked much about this unretirement trend?
Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head, Wes. But there's three converging forces, I think, that are bringing it all about. First of all, people are starting to scratch their head and say, having time off is great and getting a break from work is great and maybe I'd like to even do something different, but I don't know that I want to kind of not work for 30 or 40 years. Last 10 years, the average American retiree, and we got about 70 million retirees, watch 47 hours of television a week. And that's like a bad joke. The second thing that's happening is that the generation of people who are currently retiring have not done a terrific job of preparing financially. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole lot of people scratching their head and saying, I don't think I can afford this. Maybe I ought to work a few more years. And the third force is we have low unemployment. There was high unemployment, for example, when Social Security was crafted, the unemployment level was 25%. So part of the purpose of that program was brilliantly conceived, was to give a little bit of a stipend to people so they wouldn't wind up in the poorhouse. It was $120 a year to start. But it was also to get the old people out of the workforce so that those young people could get started with their families and their jobs and, get on with their lives. Today, we need workers. We need brain surgeons. We need engineers. We need FBI operators. We need all kinds of talent. And, it's one thing if you're working in a retail store and it takes 2 weeks to train you up to do the job, but if you're going to do knee surgery, why would you want to push somebody out the door just because they had a birthday? So
right.
There's a need for more of these older people. Now, people aren't saying they want to work until they're 100. They're saying maybe another 5 or 6 years. And maybe I'd like to work 3 or 4 days a week. Mm-hmm. And employers are beginning to create more flex retirement or flex work so that they can keep some of that talent. And also people can have a better balance between work and leisure. Because this is you've written about in your books, people want to have some fun. They want to enjoy themselves. They don't want to just labor all the time.
You're listening to Money Matters with special guest Ken Dykewald. We're going to run to a quick weather, traffic, then more Money Matters right here on WSB straight ahead. And welcome back to Money Matters Sunday morning. I am Wes Moss with a special Retire Sooner interview right here on Money Matters with Ken Dykewald.
You write about your latest book that I know you've just revised, Radical Curiosity. I wrote a whole chapter about curiosity. I think of it as curiosity killed the cat. Lack of curiosity killed the happy retiree. My question is about self-discovery. And how do we reinvent, rediscover? And I want to hear about your journey around that. Like, what are some of the most important discoveries that have been seminal moments for you and impacted your journey? And then how can you help our listeners really think that through so that they have a really full 60 plus period of time?
Yeah, first of all, like you said, curiosity killed the cat. Boy, there's a concept, curiosity. It's gotten a bad rap, you know? People talk about abundance and success and wealth, and we don't talk about curiosity more, because people who are curious are asking questions. They're learning things. They're interacting with younger generations. They are keeping their minds open. That curiosity also inhibits, you know, cognitive loss. Makes you more interesting. It causes life to be fresh. And it also might lead you to new possibilities. So what I came to realize in my life is that curiosity is kind of essential if you want to live a exciting and dynamic and open-minded long life. I mean, you know, we've all seen older people. Maybe you've got a grumpy uncle or you got a next-door neighbor who's no fun to be around. And all they want to talk about is how things used to be better in the old days. And they don't care about anything new. They don't understand why Taylor Swift is so happening right now. And they don't understand why it's so amazing that the Stones are kind of putting out a new album after 18 years of not doing that. And so...
And by the way, Harrison Ford, I just saw the other day, he's in his 80s.
He's 81.
He's like in half of my favorite new shows.
Yeah, he's like in every, you know, Kevin Costner, Harrison Ford, and Helen Mirren are in like every TV show and movie there is right now. By the way, I'll tell you an interesting story about Harrison Ford, which I think is to the point of your program. I spoke at a conference where he was the other keynote speaker. This is right before COVID. And he's a climate activist. And at the end of his speech, he said, "We got to get all the young people of the world planting trees, save the planet." And he got a standing ovation. And I had a private meeting with him afterward. And I fawned over him. What a life you've had. You've done some cool roles. What a great thing, you know.
I love you, Han Solo.
Right. You know, I mean, think about being Harrison Ford. But I said to him, "Are you aware of the fact that there's a billion people in the world right now over the age of 60 and nobody has tasked them with anything?"
What did he say?
He pulled back like you just did. And he said, "A billion people over 60 and we haven't given them anything useful to do? Wow, I never thought of that," he said. And I said, "By the way, think of the kind of the metaphysical message. If you got 60 or 70 year olds planting trees in whose shade they might never sit, it makes a statement about how the old care for the future. And we don't have enough of that. We don't have enough. I'm not saying that older people should be obligated to join the military or should be forced into service, but only 24% of today's retirees volunteer at all. And we know that volunteers are happier, healthier, have more fun, meet new people, feel good about their lives. By giving, they get. And we haven't really yet created a world, again, this is a new frontier, where older adults think, I can't wait to stop working so that I can spend a few hours a week at the church or the mosque or the synagogue or helping out at the schools. Or, for example, you're a financial pro. Think of all the inner city kids that could benefit if some financial professionals went into those schools and taught the basics of money management. You'd have people who, for the rest of their life, would be in better shape financially. You know, why wait until you're 55 to start thinking about money? We ought to be learning about it in high school.
We're coming up to the bottom of the hour, so we'll break here for news, weather, traffic. When we come back, our expanding lifespans. How does that measure up with our health spans? We'll also talk about the growing trend of un-retirement. I'm Wes Moss. My guest is a psychologist, gerontologist, and best-selling author, Ken Dykewald. More of that right here on Money Matters on WSB. Straight ahead. The S&P 500 fell nearly 20% in 2022. Inflation jumped to double digits, and the Fed has continued to relentlessly raise interest rates. It feels like chaos. But at Capital Investment Advisors, we take a disciplined approach to investing to help our clients find happiness in retirement, regardless of the scary headlines. We can't control the chaos, but we can control what we do about it. If you'd like help with your disciplined retirement strategy, reach out to our team at yourwealth.com. That's yourwealth.com.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, this Sunday morning, sharing with you my special interview with Ken Dykewald, Rethinking the Perception of Aging and Longevity.
All right, so what do you mean by the life's third age?
So this is not an idea that I made up. It comes from the European traditions of lifelong education. But the belief is that throughout most of history, people lived only through their first age, which was the first approximately 30 years of life. Now, Wes, I'm going to tell you something, and you're going to say that can't be true. Throughout 99% of human history, the average life expectancy worldwide was under 18.
Mm-hmm. So for our listeners, if you're going back over world history,
100,000 years.
We're living at the 0.1% of a period of time when we actually can live beyond our 20s.
Right. So the first age was 0 to 30, and your focus is, you know, growing up, surviving deadly diseases, accidents, trauma, war. And then we began to have improvements in 18th, 19th, and 20th century in medicine and pharmacopoeia, public health, and people started living into their 40s and 50s. And so we created a second age, and all of a sudden society became kind of dominated by people in the second age of men and women. And now what we're seeing emerging is a third age, life after 60, which could also wind up being 30 years for people. And most of us are just clueless about what we could do and where we should live and should we have roommates and should we keep working and how much money are we going to need? And so it's sort of uncharted territory. Think of Lewis and Clark. It's for pioneers, and it's for people to, like you, begin folks thinking about, it's not just how much money am I going to have or need, but how am I going to spend it down? And then it's about who am I going to enjoy having time with? And it's about how am I going to keep my health span trying to match my lifespan, because most people don't want to be sick for the last 10, 15 years. And last, it's about purpose. We've done work these last bunch of years, again, all free, the reports. We've done it with various financial firms and wonderful partners like Merrill and Edward Jones and Ameriprise and such. And what we've learned is that when people think of planning for their later years, it's not just about money. It's, well, how do I think about giving back? How do I think about getting more time with the people I like and making new friends and intergenerational connections? How do I get away from the family and friends that I think are toxic? Mm. Because that's not the way I want to spend my last decades. And also purpose. What can I do that would give me new purpose? A lot of us spend our years at jobs and in careers that some 19-year-old version of ourselves one night at a party thought it would be a fun thing to do for the rest of our life. And then we find ourselves at 55 or 60 thinking, I don't know, did I really want to be an accountant? Did I, you know, am I really cut out to be a chef? I mean, I cut out to be a homemaker. You start to get a little bit of emotional intelligence and you can really think about, what would I like to do now? And then how do you get yourself on that track?
Well, is that, you know, and I want to ask about health span and whether we, health span versus lifespan. I mean, we all want to.
Oh, you're not going to like what I have
to
say.
Let's just go right there. Let's hear this. Yeah.
See, you're a radically curious kind of guy, huh? So this is, think about this as sort of a slightly newish way to think about things now that we've got all this new longevity and so many of us are living past 60. Mm-hmm. We've got our lifespan. That's the number of years we live. And in the United States, it's actually gone a little bit backwards during COVID. So we average life expectancy is about 77. We are 40th in the world when it comes to how long we live. So there are 39 countries in the world that live longer than we do. But then there's what's called health span, which is how many years in your life are you living without disability and pain and suffering? And we only live about 66 years with a positive health span.
No, I wanted you to share that because that's a number that doesn't, you don't hear about that number very often.
No, nobody ever talks about health span. I've watched every presidential debate now for the last 20 years, and I cannot believe that the media doesn't bring this question up. Get a load of this. We are 60th in the world when it comes to health span. Now, keep in mind that we spend more money on health than any country in the world, yet we're 40th when it comes to lifespan. 39 countries live longer than we do. And I'm sorry, I said 60th. We're 68th when it comes to our health span. So there's 67 countries in the world that live healthier longer than we do. And that stinks.
Yeah.
It stinks for people. It stinks for families because it requires a lot of caregiving. People spend down their wealth. Cost the country an enormous amount of money to pay for all of this. We got to fix that if we're going to continue to have longevity.
It's actually frustrating. I almost get worked up about it. I get almost angry.
Well, we ought to get worked up about it. It's outrageous. And it's outrageous that our politicians don't focus on it. It's outrageous it doesn't come up in the political debates. It's outrageous it's not identified as a number one, two, or three major American challenge. And I'm worked up about it. It doesn't make me happy. I'm ashamed to have to say this.
I think about Butte, you know, you probably know Dan Buettner, the Blue Zones guy. I've loved his work for a lot of years, but you know, he makes this great point that I immediately, when you say, hey, our health span's 66, which is terrible, I immediately want to know why. Like, what's the answer? And I know there's no one answer. But I think about, and I don't know if it's, maybe it's Singapore, recently that just catapulted into the top 10 centenarians. And what Dan has talked about is that it's what the government there has done over the last 50 years to make it a walkable city and make it so that people are eating healthier. It's almost like you have to be in the right lifestyle. You can't just figure it out. And I guess it's just our lifestyle in America, for one reason or another, we're so far away from having a good health span. It's what would you say that the if you had to say one reason, what is it?
Well, I have to say that I am captivated by Buettner's examination. And for those of your listeners who've never heard of him, it's Buettner. And he's got a series, I think it's on Netflix now. It's a four-part series about how to live to 100. And he travels to the regions of the world that have the most centenarians. And there's three or four things that he's found. Number one, they move around a lot. They walk, they work in their garden. When he goes to his first Okinawa, the city that he studies, it's very steep. The second, people have their, what he calls in Okinawa, their ikiga. It's their group. It's their group of friends and family that all care for each other. Third, people don't think about checking out. You know, when you get older, you still have a role to play as a mentor, as a loving adult. You concern yourself with the well-being of young people and your community. Singapore, when I was in my 20s, I got asked to meet with Lee Kuan Yew, who was then the senior minister who kind of created modern Singapore. And he wanted to know in like a two-hour meeting, what's going to happen in the future as Singapore gets older and what should we do about it? And he went ahead and did everything.
Wait, so you were one of the guys that met with him?
Yeah.
Holy.
Long time ago.
That's amazing. That's I didn't see.
Well, what's more amazing is that he did something.
Yeah.
You know, he put in playgrounds for people of all ages in almost every community setting. He created walking streets so that people wouldn't be always in their car. He created essentially cash benefits if you live near your parents or your children.
What?
So there's just the things that we all could be doing to give us a longer health span and maybe even a longer lifespan that we in the United States, we don't eat healthy. You know, what Buettner found was if you take two cities, you put them that are right next to each other and sociologically they're identical. The only difference is in one city, it's got billboards for soft drinks and fast foods. Forget about whether there's even restaurants, just billboards. In the city that those don't exist, the body mass index is 15% lower. And what he's trying to do now is create blue zones in the United States. We just don't take it seriously. We think you get up, you keep your fingers crossed, and you're going to have money and have health and have fun. And it takes a little more individual and social intention to pull it off.
Yeah, it's almost like we're not set up for it. I mean, I've been a student of this. I remember I think it's almost 20 years ago when his first Blue Zones came out. I remember I used to buy that as gifts for people 20 years ago. And Dan actually, you know, I've got him on the cover of this latest book, but it's almost like, meaning that I'm a student of it, I get it. And I also study, I think part of his work was inspiration for me to go reverse engineer the happy retiree, but we're not that set up for it is the problem. I mean, I know what to be doing, but I still don't walk, you know, to work and I'm not moving all day. I mean, I'm jumping around in my chair when we're talking, but I'm not walking, you know, just accidentally 4 to 7 miles a day. And I'm not plant-based like I should be. And I even like to eat plant-based and I still don't do it. It's almost like we're just not as set up for it in the United States. And I don't know why, but maybe guys like you and guys like me will try to start to turn that tide.
Well, first I want to say this is kind of new. We got to give ourselves a little bit of a break that we never really before in history had to think about. Do I want to live to 100? And if not, why not? And what are the people tell me that they don't want to live to 100 if they don't have their brain working or if they're in pain or if they're a burden on their family. So this is kind of new stuff. And as we talk about it on programs like yours, Wes, and in your books, and in my books, maybe more and more people will start to say, hey, this is important. And then we got to be careful because every type of snake oil salesman you can imagine is now claiming that to have the cure for aging or for illness.
We're going to break for a quick weather traffic. The more with Ken Dykewald, co-founder and CEO of AgeWave. I'm your host, Wes Moss. More Money Matters straight ahead. Welcome back to Money Matters right here on WSB Radio. I'm your host, Wes Moss. Today, we're sharing a fascinating interview with gerontologist, psychologist, lecturer, and just all-around cool guy, Ken Dykewald.
All right, last question. What's your favorite piece of advice for a would-be retiree or retirement?
Take a breath. A lot of people charge from their job to their retirement and want to be active. And I think this is going to sound really dopey, and I apologize. But when I was a young man, I thought, you know, being a wordsmith guy and a writer, I thought that the parts of the sentence that mattered the most were the nouns. And then I got a little more zen in my 30s, and I thought the verbs were what really mattered. You know, it's the being, not the thing. And then when I got a little older, I thought I was really getting sharp when I thought the adverbs, it's how you move and how you relate and how you do what you do. But as I've gotten older, I'm completely convinced it's the punctuation points. It's the time where you stop and tell your wife, I love you. It's the time you pause to think. It's the time you reflect on what's next. And they're awkward. Sometimes punctuation points are awkward. Even if I stop talking for a moment here on your program, that's a little awkward. But that's the advice I'd give. Take a deep breath.
It was just the battery.
Take a deep breath and also try to find some role models. Mm-hmm. We have role models. If you're a kid and you want to be a basketball player or a football player, we have role models in science. We have role models in church. Yeah, we also don't have role models in later life. And I think that's valuable.
Well, you're one of mine, Ken.
Thank you.
So that's Ken Dykewald. He's the co-founder. He's the CEO of AgeWave. And to hear the full interview, you can find it on my Retire Sooner podcast. The Retire Sooner podcast, it's on Apple or Spotify, or retiresoonerteam.com. If you would like to reach out to me and the Money Matters team, it's easy to do so. Just go to yourwealth.com. That's Y-O-U-R wealth.com. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join MyLowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.